Still, to this day, when you tune on all the cable shows and you turn into the network weekend shows and you tune into the cable Bill Maher style shows, with everyone still wants to talk about Judge Kirill. Everybody wants to talk about the judge. Everybody wants to talk about the judge. And of course, nobody talks about what is in the judge's past to have Trump say the things that he said. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about that. So when you watch something on CNN or you read something in BuzzFeed or the Daily Beast, all they say is Donald Trump attacked a federal judge and said he could not be fair in the Trump University case because the judge was of Mexican heritage, who was born in Indiana. That is a racist statement. He is a racist. But nobody brings up the past as it pertains to this judge and the things that are in his background that would lead somebody to think he could not be fair. And CNN always leaves that off. MSNBC leaves it off. Everybody leaves it off. They leave off that past. And what I find amusing is slowly but surely what's starting to happen is what happened when Trump said, hey, there were thousands of people celebrating when the World Trade Center came down. There were thousands of Muslims celebrating. Matter of fact, they were in New Jersey celebrating. They were on rooftops celebrating. And of course, Chuck Todd basically called Trump a liar. There was outrage. There was just a mass amount of outrage. And then what happened? As the days went on, people, and they weren't the media, 100% weren't the media, because it doesn't behoove them. Their narrative is Trump is a Islamophobe, he's a liar, he's a racist, so forth and so on. But pro-Trump people started finding news broadcasts from 15 years ago, newspaper articles from 15 years ago that supported what Donald Trump said. Remember the controversy about the writer who was quote-unquote disabled that they say Trump made fun of? That whole issue was based on the fact that that reporter wrote a story. He wrote a story where he quoted police officers that talked about Muslims celebrating the World Trade Center coming down. And when this article got brought up, the reporter in the Washington Post said, oh, well, that those statements and the whole celebrating was later debunked. But yet the reporter, this Seth, whatever his name is, never, ever put a retraction in. Washington Post never put a retraction. Nobody put a retraction in a week later, a month later, a year later, and said, hey, these things we wrote about, you know, Muslims celebrating and all of this action in New Jersey going on, it all never happened. So we're sorry we wrote that. They never did that. They never, ever did that. And then people found video of Dan Rather on David Letterman talking about Muslims celebrating when the World Trade Center came down. See, he had all this stuff starting to come out. And people went, oh, well, okay. I guess Trump was right. Maybe it wasn't thousands. Maybe exaggerated. No different than any other politician exaggerates. But he didn't lie. There were people that celebrated. Muslims celebrated. There was mass investigations in New Jersey. It wasn't a lie. So this Judge Curiel thing happens, and the media acts as if this judge just fell out of the sky. He fell out of the sky, showed up in Indiana, grew up, became a judge. And Donald Trump looked at him and went, you're Mexican. Your mom and dad are from Mexico. Oh, well, you can't judge me fairly because I want to build a wall. That's it. I want to build a wall. See, everyone, he's a racist. This is insane. But this judge had history. So then reports started to come out. He was part of this group that had a mission statement saying, we are going to boycott all Trump entities. And then another report came out that he was part of a lawyers association that advocates go out there and make sure illegals can get scholarships and illegals don't get deported and illegals can have driver's license. He's part of a group, part of lawyers, part of an organization that supports the breaking of federal law. And then people went, oh, okay, well, that's a little, that's a little more than just Trump going, well, his parents are from Mexico and he has a Mexican name, so he can't judge me because I'm building a wall. Now, remember, the media ignored all of this, and they still ignore this. When you see Chris Cuomo and Wolf Blitzer and Rachel Maddow and Lawrence O'Donnell and Chris Hayes and the whole crew, they all ignore this. And they act like this isn't a big deal. So now a new article has surfaced. And of course, brought to you by the great people over at Breitbart. And this article is about the founder of the group that Judge Curiel is part of. The founder, in the past, has talked about whites should go back to Europe so that California can be a Hispanic state. So one of the men who is the founder of this La Raza Lawyers Association in different interviews has advocated for whites in California to go back to Europe. The man's name is Mario Abledo. And he's the co-founder of the Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund and the La Raza Lawyers of California Bar Association. And back in 1998, an appearance on Ray Bream's talk radio show and on Tom Likas's radio show, Abledo said, "We're going to take over all the political institutions of California. In 5 years, the Hispanics are going to be the majority population of the state." And a caller said, "You also made the statement that California is going to become a Hispanic state, and if anyone doesn't like that, they should leave." And Abledo said, "I did. They ought to go back to Europe." Statements were backed up by the New York Times in Abledo's 2010 obituary. And they wrote, "When someone put up a sign at the California border saying illegal immigration state, he threatened to burn it down personally. He ignited an explosive response in 1998 when he said in a radio interview that Hispanics were on the way to taking over all of California's political institutions. He suggested that people who did not like it go back to Europe." So this guy is one of the founders that this lawyer or this judge is part of. Just like the 9/11 stuff. As the days and weeks go on, more and more of this information comes out. Mainstream media, or I should say media as a whole, will not talk about this. But the teeny tiny outlets that are run by conservatives will. And then it's up to us to get this information out there so people are informed. It does nothing. It absolutely does nothing for the older people who are not tech savvy. Because like I brought up my dad in the beginning of this segment, he has no idea about the internet I mean, of course he knows the internet, but he doesn't go on the internet. He doesn't go to different websites. He only gets his information from CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS. That's how he gets his information. George Stephanopoulos. And remember I told you before, my dad is a bleeding heart liberal, but he likes Trump. But when all of this stuff went down, we talked and he goes, ah, man, you see, Trump, he really did it. How could he say that? And I go, yeah, but Dad, the guy's part of these groups. It was a legitimate statement, no different than what liberals say when they use the code word white privilege. No different than when you hear liberals complain about judge decisions involving black defendants who get a sentence that liberals don't agree with, and the word white privilege is used. What they're saying is that black defendant got that sentence because the judge, who's white, doesn't like black people. And if that defendant was white, then he would have got a lesser sentence. My dad goes, well, Rob, you know, I don't know about all that. I don't know about all that. And I go, of course you don't know about all of this. Of course you don't know about these groups. Of course you don't know, because you only watch CNN. You only watch CNN, and then you watch Rachel Maddow and Chris Matthews. Well, sometimes I watch O'Reilly. I go, well, you didn't catch the episode when O'Reilly talked about La Raza. I don't know. Maybe I heard some. I don't know if I heard some, but what he said was racist. So, no CNNs, no MSNBCs, no George Stephanopoulos's, no CBS's, none of these people are bringing up the past of the judge. They're just saying, Trump said this, he's racist, end of story. End of story. And like we talked about it in the beginning of the week, all Trump did was a reverse of what liberals do on a daily basis. All Trump did was what Barbara Boxer does on a daily basis. When somebody says policy or things of that nature cannot get done without diversity, what they're saying is those people are prejudiced in some way. Have you ever tuned in to MSNBC and listened to Joy Reid or Joan Walsh or Jonathan Capar? Have you ever heard them say, well, you know, the Republicans who block President Obama's legislation, Republicans who won't let bills get passed. You know why they do that? Because they don't like the fact that he's a black president. You have three MSNBC, one Washington Post writer, all saying the only reason Republicans block Obama legislation or put up a fight on different things that Obama wants has nothing to do with bad policy. Has nothing to do with Democrat versus Republican, which has been that way since we were created. Rather, it was Whigs. It has to solely do with race. Obamacare is the greatest thing in the world. People love it. It's the everybody gets to keep their insurance. Nobody's getting thrown off their plans. Businesses aren't cutting hours on people. Everything that's happening with Obamacare is bad. It really is. I mean, bad things are happening. So all the people that opposed it, all the Republicans that opposed it, didn't oppose it because of bad things that would happen, which have. They opposed it because Obama's black. And that's what Jonathan Capar says. That's what Joy Reid says. That's what Joan Walsh says. And no one says boo. And there's not one shred of evidence in John McCain's past that would lead you to say he's a racist. He's only blocking Obama legislation because he doesn't like black people. Amazing how the liberals get away with this. Isn't it amazing how the media puts forth this agenda? And again, shouldn't this teach everybody a lesson as to what the most important thing, what the most important, just, the thing that we as a party need the most, which is controlling media. Forget the Senate. Forget the House. When you listen to Glenn Beck, that goofy putz, talk about a 100-year plan. We need to have a 100-year plan to take back the country and take the White House and promote our value. You don't need 100 years. You need a couple billion, and you need to start gobbling up entertainment properties, media properties. That's it. Real simple. Real simple. That is it. Look at the movie Clinton Cash. Look at that movie. Okay? Not to get off of the racial component, rape, privilege, and Judge Kirill. When Michael Moore puts on a movie, okay? When Michael Moore puts on a movie, look at the press. Look at the push. Look at the exposure it gets. Fahrenheit 9/11 won an Academy Award. Everybody saw Fahrenheit 9/11. Clinton Cash, buried. Buried. There's no multi-million dollar ad campaign. Now, if Republicans and knew what the hell they were doing, okay? If Republicans knew what the hell they were doing and weren't living in the Stone Age, they would be laying out about $10 million, a Sheldon Adelson, Koch brother. They would lay out about $10 million for a national media blitz of the movie Clinton Cash. So in every major city, you would see a billboard. You would see at a bus station, the bus stops, where they have posters in the glass. And as you're walking down the street, you're like, oh, look, I'm going to see that movie. I mean, Adam Sandler put out one of the worst piece of crap movies with his Netflix deal. And there were posters all over Los Angeles on every bus stop. I couldn't walk down the street in Glendale without seeing an Adam Sandler poster. And guess what? I watched the stupid movie because I saw the poster every day. So you have a great movie like Clinton Cash. And the few people that have seen it, the few people that have seen it have said it's devastating. It puts everything that was in that book in a neat package, a quick, just real bing, boom, bang. It's fast-paced. It's not wonky like the book should be doing. But they don't. Instead, CNN, MSNBC, and everyone else will put out Trump is a racist. Nobody will talk about the judge's past. And Joy Reid and every other liberal gets away with saying Republicans oppose Obama because Obama is black. That is, as Paul Ryan would say, textbook racism. And instead of Republicans pushing back the whole Donald Trump racist narrative, they all just buckled. Like I said, Republicans, you know, the ones, because it's not the voters. Remember that. Unity is with the voters. It's not the voters. It's the establishment. These establishments, these establishment types should really create their own party. They should. The Pussy Party. That's what they should be called. The PP Party. They should have been out in full force. They should have been out in full force saying, you know what? If Trump said this without a history in this judge's background, then yeah, I would say it was really bad. But these are the things, including the Clinton ties, these are all the things that led him to say, you know what? I don't know if this judge will give me a fair shake. I don't know if he will. I don't know if he will. When you have Mexicans jumping on police cars, lighting American flags on fire, and organizations like La Raza defending those people doing it, calling for boycotts of my businesses, and the judge that's hearing my case is affiliated with all of this stuff? But Republicans didn't come out and say that. None of them came out and said, well, why is it that all of you call all of us racists when we don't support a policy by the president? Where's your evidence that me, Paul Ryan, is a racist? Where's your evidence that me, Lindsey Graham, is a racist? I don't support Obama's policy on this. Republicans don't do it because it's the pussy party. It's the pussy party. It's the pussy party. Okay? And when you have people in the media like Sean King, you remember Sean King, right? The Black Lives Matter kid. Remember the whole question, is he really black? Is he white? You remember all of that. Well, he did an article for the Daily News, and he's outraged. Outraged over the verdict in the rape case involving two people, okay? And that Corey Batty, I think that's his name, Corey Batty, who's the former Vanderbilt football player, and Brock Turner, who is the swimmer at Stanford, and both cases are similar, except Brock Turner was white, and Batty is black. They both got convicted of rape. Alcohol was involved. Partying was involved. But their sentences were different. Batty got a sentence of 15 to 25. And Brock got a sentence of 6. And the article goes on, and this Sean King says, one man will spend the entire prime of his life in prison for his crime. The other will be out of jail before the summer heat disappears. One man is black. The other is white. I won't even ask you to guess which is which. This is America. So, right there, you're talking about coded language for racism. And then he goes on, and listen carefully to what Sean King says. Just listen carefully. The judge in the Turner case, Aaron Persky, who was also a standout athlete in a stuffy, predominantly white sport at Stanford seemed to see self in the young man and felt that a long prison sentence for Turner would be an overreach of justice and stated publicly that a prison sentence would have a severe impact on him. Now, you want to talk about coded language? You want to talk about being blunt? What Sean King said here is this kid got the sentence he got because he's white and the judge is white. You realize that? You realize what Sean King said is in the exact same ballpark as what Donald Trump said, except Donald Trump has evidence to actually back up a claim that he might not be able to get a fair trial. Matter of fact, he's not getting a fair trial due to race, due to the history of the judge's affiliation with a racist organization, and the fact that this organization advocates for illegals getting driver's licenses and college education and things of that nature. And Donald Trump is for stopping that. Sean King has no evidence to attack this judge. And it's exactly what Sean King is doing. He's attacking this judge and saying it's about being white. It's about Aaron Persky, who is a standout athlete in a stuffy, predominantly white sport at Stanford, seemed to see himself in the young man and felt that a long prison sentence for Turner would be an overreach of justice, and stated publicly that a prison sentence would have a severe impact on him. Sean King is saying that this kid got off with a 6-month sentence because he's white and the judge is white. There is a bias with the judge on race. And not one person in the media calls this racism. Not one person in the media says anything about this. Nothing at all. Goes under the radar. When you hear people say white privilege, that is code for somebody getting something because they are white. That's it. Plain and simple. And the person that gave it to them is white. I mean, white privilege is a coded word that is racist. As Paul Ryan would say, that's textbook racism. I mean, Sean King ends his little article with saying, America doesn't have a hard time sending people to prison for years on end. Our country does that well. It's just that the same rules don't seem to apply if you are a white and privileged. So we're questioning a judge's ruling, and we're attaching race to the outcome. Isn't that what we just had a huge controversy about? Isn't that what Trump and the Judge Curio situation was about? A judge's outcome, a judge's ruling, a judge's decision based on race. Right? I'm not missing something here, am I, guys? The whole dust-up was Trump having an issue with a judge presiding over his case, not because he was Mexican, not because he was Latino, but because he had ties to organizations who, A, have called for boycotts of Trump properties and Trump businesses. B, they are against every single policy proposal that Donald Trump is advocating for. Their founder has said California will be a Hispanic state and white people should go back to Europe. So when you put all of that together, Trump questioning this judge whose mom and dad are from Mexico, all of his relatives are from Mexico. He's involved with all of these groups. And the question is, will Trump get a fair shake? Now, if that's racist, and that is something that a commander-in-chief cannot have, a quality to ask these types of questions as a commander-in-chief cannot have, then what do you call the Joe Reeds and Democrats and liberals and even Obama? Obama, on more than one occasion, has said certain things that have gone on in his presidency he feels have been based on the fact that he's black. He said that before. He has said that before. He has said that before. All of the liberals that are on the different shows explicitly say that. And you have Sean King talking about white privilege and the fact that the only reason the kid got 6 months for rape was because he's white He's an athlete. The judge is white, and he was an athlete. So in turn, race played in to the judge's decision. I don't know about you guys, but I think this is an extreme double standard. I think this is an enormous double standard. I think this is, as Trump would say, bigly. Bigly. Sean King and other people that have been speaking out about this case. Other people that have been talking about this rape case have been saying race played a part in the sentencing. People are saying that this kid got 6 months because he's white. The judge is white. And if it was somebody black, they would have went to jail for 20 years. And Sean King and many others are posting stories. They're going on talk shows. They are doing what for the past week we were told is not appropriate to do. But it's only inappropriate for Republicans to do it. Liberals can do whatever they want. They can get away with whatever they want. That's how it always is. That's how always will be. That's how it always will be. And it will never change as long as you have the PP, which is the Pussy Party. As long as you have 200 to 300 pussies meeting up in a lodge in a state full of people that wear magic underpants to try to figure out how to deny 13 million plus voters and many million more that are out there . That's why things will never change. They don't know how to control the media. They don't know how to stand up. They don't know how to have right. They don't know how to have strength. They don't know how to have wisdom. They're clueless in every aspect of how this country and the political game operates in 2016. It's amazing.